British triumphant Agincourt and William
Arr, Henry Dearborn.
Welcome to Pet Lovers Lane, located at 89.3 on your FM dial, WHFR Dearborn. I'm Susan Morell, and I thank you so much for joining me here today on Pet Lovers Lane. We have got a fabulous guest. Joining us on the telephone is Claire McLean. She is the founder of the Presidential Pet Museum. Welcome to WHFR, Claire.
Well, thank you very much, Susan. It's a great honor to be up there in Michigan and listening and talking to you.
Well, I'm so glad we finally made the connection. Really been looking forward to talking with you about the Presidential Pet Museum since that...
It's so busy.
Yeah, that seems to be the topic of the day. And we know that our new president, Obama... is looking for a new dog, right?
Yeah, that's correct. He has narrowed it down to two, and we really have our fingers crossed that, he's going to pick one. I think it's in April. He mentioned that he's wanted the weather to be nice so the girls could walk the dogs in nicer weather.
When you say that he has narrowed it down to two, are you saying that he has already... specifically picked out the dogs or just the breed?
He's picked out the two types of dogs that he thinks that he would get. One is a Portuguese water dog, and the other one is a Labradoodle, or a crossbreed.
Okay, give us a little information about each type.
Well, the Portuguese water dog I am an AKC judge of and have raised them for over 25 years, and they are definitely the kind of dog that would do well in the White House. Mostly because they're friendly, outgoing, very clever, very comical, full of fun, good with children. And the most important thing, Susan, is they're hypoallergenic, which means his malaria is allergic. And so they need to have a dog that doesn't shed or have the kind of coat where, it leaves an allergy to a lot of people. And the Portuguese water dog has an excellent coat and has that type of a wave and condition to it that would not be allergenic to the children.
Well, tell us about the Portuguese water dog now. Is that a hunting dog? And tell us a little bit about the fur. Is it a short-haired, a long-haired?
Well, it's got long, curly hair that's very resistant to water, but they use them in water a lot. They're water dogs. They've come from Portugal. Fishermen used to use them to go between boats, carry messages, and get nets. And they're a medium-sized dog, about the size of a Labrador. And their coats come real tight, curly, or wavy, or even a flat. And they are very quick, agile, and very easy to learn. They're good to train. And that's the kind of dog that we're hoping he'll get, a purebred. The crossbreed between a Labradoodle is a Labradoodle dog crossed with a poodle. And they're never, you're never, ever sure what the result's going to be because it's first-generation genetics, whereas your purebreds are many, many generations and hard work of selective breeding and breeding for certain qualities.
And the Labradoodle, give us again, it's a cross between...
It's a cross between a Labrador and a poodle. That you don't know exactly what you're going to get when you cross the two. Labrador, you could get more poodle.
And that's a new breed.
Well, it's new. There are people out there that are breeding them just like they do golden doodles and just like they do cockapoos. And there are other breeds that they cross. But it's frowned upon by the American Kennel Club and by... many of your dog fanciers and pet owners because they are inconsistent in type. You don't really know if you're going to get more poodle, and it would only lead to a great deal more mixed breeding. So you'd have a lot more crossbreeds and mixed breeds at your shelters. So that's a reason we feel, you know, you should stick with a purebred and get it from a really good breeder in the area.
Okay, so when you say Obama is deciding between these two breeds, who is he getting his advice from? That's number one. Number two, is he going to be getting a shelter dog? And number three, is he going to be getting a puppy?
Well, all those questions are, we don't know. We need a crystal ball, Susan, to try to guess. But he would be getting a lot of advice from Dale Haney, who's been the advisor on animals to the president since Gerald Ford. And is at the White House and really has an awful lot of expertise and interest in what kind of dog they have to, the staff and the grounds people all have to prepare for, feeding them a tremendous amount of information.
And you say Dale Haney, what is his official title?
Well, he's the grounds, the head of the grounds, the Rose Garden, and the horticulturist manager. He takes care of the White House in general.
Okay, but I think it's a consensus that all of the rescue groups around the country are urging Obama to adopt a dog from a shelter.
Yeah, the dog that comes from the pound or the shelter could be a purebred, too. There's a lot of purebred dogs from Great Danes down to Chihuahuas that are at shelters, but the breed clubs and the foundation that they have, the health foundations, and the AKC and all the rescue groups will pick up the purebreds out of the shelters much faster. I talked to Betty Paul Sauls, who was the owner and creator of PetFinders.com, and she relayed to me that nearly three-fourths of all dogs in shelters and kennels and pounds across the United States, three-fourths of them are mixed breeds. The purebreds, the AKC-registered purebreds, get adopted very fast, whether it's a beagle, like I say, an Akita, a Shar Pei, or a Shih Tzu. They get picked up because the clubs, the breed clubs, the parent clubs right on down to the local beagle club, they'll get the purebred out of the pound and foster it until they find a good home for it. So the clubs take awfully good care of their breed. Now, the mixed breeds, because it's haphazard breeding, accidental breeding, they don't have the foundation or the backing. The reason the pet at the White House should not be a mixed breed or a crossbreed. Now, a shelter dog or a pound dog, Susan, can be a purebred. It can also be a crossbreed. The difference between a crossbreed and a mixed breed is that the crossbreed is a purebred bred to a purebred. Like if you took a bulldog and crossed it with a Shih Tzu, what would you get? If you had a setter and you crossed it with a pointer, what would you get? Those are called crossbreeds. Your mixed breed is when you have a dog that is a combination of several dogs, and then on the other side, another combination of several dogs, or perhaps purebred. But the parentage, it looks like maybe a half dachshund, half German shepherd. And those are called mixed breeds. So your crossbreed would be a Labradoodle, a Golden Doodle, a Cockapoo, the poinsettia. So the other thing is, if a mixed breed or a crossbreed is very popular at the White House and cute, oh, so cute, and the cat's such fun, and it's a wonderful dog, the public will have more propensity to cross breeds and mix breeds, which would dilute the purebred field a great deal, which they've spent centuries and centuries trying to breed selectively for certain traits. That's not to say that a mixed breed or a crossbreed isn't just as good a dog, but wouldn't it be good if we didn't have all those mixed breeds?
More shelter pets would be adopted, and we would decrease.
The more they were adopted, the more people would breed for mixed breeds.
Well, that's an idea too. Is Obama taking suggestions from the public, and people email him?
A lot of people want him to get a Labradoodle or a mixed breed.
So what are people doing? Are they emailing the president?
No, they're emailing the different websites. I have a guest book on my website, and I have people that log in and mention to me what kind of dog they should have. And I've mailed things to the Courier, which is a Portuguese water dog magazine, to the White House. And I've called Mr. Kennedy, Senator Kennedy's nephew, who's spoken to him, who has spoken to Obama, try to promote one species of dog, which would be the Portuguese water dog.
If our listeners are interested in getting an email to the president or a suggestion, how can they do it?
They go to www.whitehouse.gov. Click in there, and they'll have a place for your comments.
Or if they want to go to your website.
Or if they want to come to my website, it's posted, and I think the Obama children visit it often.
What is your website?
www.presidentialpetmuseum.com.
Okay, we are talking today with Claire McLean, who is the founder of the Presidential Pet Museum. You are listening to Pet Lovers Lane, located at 89.3 on your FM dial, WHFR Dearborn, and I am Susan Morrell. We were talking about Obama's choice for a new dog, and he's going to be making a choice between now and April. So get your suggestions in to the Presidential Pet Museum, and Claire will forward those suggestions to the White House. We also have another new pet near and dear to the White House, and that is the vice presidential new German Shepherd puppy.
Yes, Joe Biden has a puppy, and he says he's looking for a Labrador. His wife wants... No, wait a second. I think that may be a Golden Retriever. He's looking for a one from the shelter. They want the next dog they get. They want it to be from the shelter or the pound, but they want it to be a purebred. It's much more consistent, and you can predict more what it's going to be like.
Well, they just adopted a German Shepherd puppy, correct?
Well, they bought it.
Oh, they bought it.
Either that, there could be a little bit of a intrigue there. The breeder may have given it to him, but I don't think so, because this is a breeder that Joe's known for many, many years, because he's always had German Shepherds and has enjoyed training them and playing with them and just as companions. And he said he went back to his old friend and got a German Shepherd puppy. And she's a breeder, so it's very possible that some money exchanged hands, but we can't be certain. Gotten a very, very good one. Looking for another.
That wasn't adopted from a shelter.
No, it wasn't.
Do we know the name of the puppy?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know the name. Somebody will have to ask Joe.
Okay.
You see, we can't find that out, though.
All right, let's find that out. But
well, names are very important, Susan.
I know they are.
Especially ones in the public highlight, because... That's the second question they ask is, one, what is it and what's its name?
They do want a second dog or a second puppy.
Oh, yeah, for the wife.
They're dog people.
Absolutely, have been all their lives. Find that most all the presidents that went into the White House were animal lovers.
Let me ask you this. This is the question that I ask every single guest who comes on Pet Lovers Lane. That is, how did you become a pet lover?
Oh, I guess I was born one. My family had pets way back till I was youngest, many, many years back that I can remember. We always had, family had a dachshund, and we had a Bouvier starting in 38. My family before me were the founders of one of the first kennels in America and helped to bring the Bouvier de Flandre to America. And I wrote the definitive book on the breed called The Bouvier de Flandres by Claire McLean. It's still available on eBay.
Oh, my goodness.
It's out of print. And then gradually growing up, they started breeding the Bouvier de Flanders. And that's how I got to the White House was somebody down in Kentucky, a little girl by the name of Christian Ellis from Hebron, Kentucky, was picked by the country to be the March of Dimes poster girl. And she went to the White House to get a presentation, and she took her mother had a Bouvier de Flanders puppy. The mother and father had a litter of them. And so she took a puppy with her to the White House and gave it to the Reagans, and Nancy and Ronnie said, we'll make it the official White House pet. And from there, they called me in, being one of the noted authorities on the breed. And when I went in I to groom the dog in the rose garden in the garden shed, I groomed all the hair off of it, swept it up, put it in a paper bag, and snuck out of the White House with it. And the next day, I heard that Nancy thought I'd cut too much hair off the dog. So little did she or I both, either one of us, know that it was going to be the foundation of the Presidential Pet Museum, because my mother took the hair and made a lovely, big, under-glass portrait of Lucky, the Bouvier de Flanders. Well, Lucky got too big and ended up out at the ranch. And then she got the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, which is Rex. But it started then on our board of directors, as the pet museum grew, we now have the official groomer of Barney and Miss Beasley. Well, we did. No longer is she that. But Barney and Miss Beasley were groomed by Helen Kisgrove in Bethesda, and she kept the hair. And, of course, we made portraits of those, too.
You are the founder of the Presidential Pet Museum.
Founder, president, CEO, a curator. I'm a little bit of everything, Susan.
So how did you get this idea in your mind, and then how did you bring it into fruition?
Well, basically, my collection after that one just started to grow, where I would get presidential memorabilia. And I had a lot of memorabilia on the Bouvier. And anytime I was at a flea market or a antique shop and there was something presidential or something that had to do with Nixon and Checkers or Lyndon and the Beagles or Clinton and Sox, because Sox had a fan club for 8 years and there was a lot of commercial knickknacks and trivia out about him. And I had a little property, so I opened up one of the buildings, a little barn, and opened it up and called it the Presidential Pet Museum. But mainly, Susan, the whole thing came about through the website. As I developed the website, if you look, there's no Presidential Pet Museum. There's museums for mushrooms and teapots and locomotives and airplanes. There's museums for everything. But there wasn't a museum for the pets of the president. And it turned out there were over 400 pets that went through the White House, 400 animals, of like the sheep and the alligator and the horses and the birds and the gifts from the heads of state. And my goodness, the list went on. And so I started researching and collecting. And finally, my sister said, gee, you ought to call it the Presidential Pet Museum. And then I started to get a lot of hits on the site because I came up in Google so much at the top, if you notice. So from there, it just grew and sort of mushroomed, and it became more fun. But I'll tell you, Susan, it's very draining as far as funds go. We have a great deal, mostly because during the Bush years, his lack of popularity, people weren't too into the presidential pets like they were with Sox and Clinton and Buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And even Lattie Boy was one of the more popular than the president, Harding, back in that day. So I take advantage of opportunities like this to speak to you, and I thank you so very much for calling and asking about the Pet Museum.
I presume that you are a nonprofit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You're a nonprofit. So
basically,
you started with your own barn on your own property, and you were a collector and a pet lover, and it just grew from your own love and your curiosity about pets and about the stories of pets in the White House.
Having four children, we had pets out the gazoo for many years, but I became very serious in breeding and showing the Bouvier de Flanders and the Portuguese water dog. That's why I'm so enamored with the Porty and the fact that Obama is seriously looking at that dog.
Well, these are your dogs.
Yeah, you know, not many people have heard of them, but they are extremely good for allergic people.
Tell me this, Claire. When did you actually first open the doors of a museum?
In 1999, down in Lothian, Maryland at the Barn. Ran ads, and then I was there for, I guess...
2007.
Yeah, I moved. I spent all of 2007 in Annapolis, Maryland. I opened up a store, and I sold souvenirs and patriotic memorabilia. And I unfortunately sold a lot of the things that I had found at the shops all over. But I had enough left, and when Haley Newman, who is the president and founder of President's Park in Williamsburg, asked me to merge with him and to take my collection down there and help him out, we did. He has a beautiful acres down there of an 18-foot-high statues of all the presidents of the United States. And right now he's working on getting the Obama statue. And if you ever looked at an 18-high statue of a president's bust, you would be absolutely floored. It's awesome. And he has the inaugurational gowns, and he has the Air Force One, and all kinds of attractions for the visitor. Very educational, very exciting. And the Pet Museum has a wonderful display there. The American Kennel Club has decided to sponsor us. So that's a big help. And we're going to try to get other companies and other interested people, but not PETA and not the people with that are the extreme fanatics.
Well, we won't worry about them.
Too, but we disagree in the procedure.
You, the Presidential Pet Museum is now located in Williamsburg on Presidential Park. So how far is actually Williamsburg from Washington, D.C.?
About 3.5 hours.
So it's a little ways. It's south?
Yes, it's south. It's just below to the east of Richmond.
If someone wants to come there to visit, what can they see? Presidential Park is, I imagine there's quite a bit of memorabilia about presidents in general.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yes, it would take a good several hours to go through the whole park. They have a wonderful walkway where you can see all the statues. And then they have a cafeteria. Actually, they call it the First Lady's Tea Room. And they have the tea room. And then you take the elevator upstairs, and you can see over 50 paintings of the presidential pets done for each president, from Washington on his horse to Bush's two Scotties and the cat Willie playing on the White House lawn.
How wonderful.
And the portraits are very colorful.
How wonderful.
And they're one of a kind. It's the only collection in the whole United States.
Well, this is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So
it really is fun.
I mean,
enjoy it a lot.
For anybody who's interested in going to Washington, D.C., which is a fabulous place to visit.
Yes.
I love Washington, D.C. I mean, there's no place else like it
right. In
the United States. And then on top of it, if you're a pet lover.
And in Washington, occasionally they'll have like at the Smithsonian, they'll have an exhibit called The President's First Pets, or different organizations will have a display or an exhibit of first pets, but nothing like we have. We're hoping to go on tour at the end of this year as we get the parents' clubs to help us with the tour display.
Tell us, Claire, a little bit about some of the very exciting exhibits that you have there at the Presidential Pet Museum.
Well, I will, Susan, but you must first realize that when a pet dies, they really don't leave real estate, jewelry. They leave a lot of wonderful memories. And that it's very hard to get a hold of memorabilia because most of the pets from Laddie Boy to what the Coolidges had, raccoons, they all go to the Masters Museum and Library, like Clinton's Museum and Library and George Bush Senior's Library. They have the most everything that belonged to Millie and Buddy and Clinton. It's very hard to, you know, to get those items. We do have a few. So most of our artifacts are the original paintings. Besides that, we have a cowbell, which was the cowbell that hung around Howard Taft's cow, Pauline Wayne, which we believe is a piece of history. And then we have wonderful casting of the Chow Chow, Tiny Tim. And we have the hair of the dog portraits. We have three of those, Beasley, Barney, and Lucky, which is a great. And we have just a little few statues, pictures, autographs. And papers explaining, you know, born, died, the trivia and the facts behind how each pet came to the White House, the ambassadors that presented them, the goodwill that was established between the heads of state and the country. And most of the animals ended up at the National Zoo.
And oh, they did.
Elephants that went through for Buchanan.
Oh, my goodness.
And there was an alligator for John Adams. They're dead and buried. They didn't leave much behind, but... We chronicle it, and we put it down in the history books.
A crocodile sounds like a very strange pet.
Yeah, it is.
For a president, especially.
There's even a book out called John Adams, Alligator and Other Pets.
How did he decide he wanted an alligator? Was that a gift? Or
that's quite a famous story. General Lafayette from France was often a visitor at the White House. Every time he came, he gave he'd come with a gift. And one of the gifts one time was a small alligator that he got from down south. And at those times, like circuses, you know, people were collecting them or keeping them. And so he got an alligator, and he kept it in the bathroom.
In the bathroom?
At times, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It was there for a while, and a lot of times he wouldn't tell people, and the ladies would go to use the bathroom and see an alligator in there, and they'd come out pretty quick.
I guess so.
It lasted quite a while because there's a lot of stories about that. And there's a lot of stories about Benjamin Harrison and how he hitched his children up, the goats, up to a little milk cart or a little driving cart, and the children and his grandchildren would get in it. And away they went. And one time he was caught chasing them down Pennsylvania Avenue trying to catch runaway goats. The kids hanging on like crazy. And one of the kids was Benjamin, who was in the cart. And little did they know then he was going to grow up to be president also.
Oh, my goodness.
Stories go on and on, and that's what the Pet Museum does, is keep them alive and chronicle them. And we believe that responsible pet ownership starts at the top. And if the Obamas are good stewards for their dog, they will have so much media. And right now they're doing the right thing by waiting and not putting the children in, getting the publicity right when he's taking over a new administration. He's got enough to worry about without bad publicity on the dog. Because no matter what that dog does, it's so scrutinized, Susan.
Oh, that's true.
That it can either hurt the breed or they may end up giving it back. And people say, oh, it's not the dog's fault. They're not spending enough time with it. And he's going to have to be very careful, and that's why we hope he makes a good choice.
Well, I do too, and I'm really hoping that he will pick a shelter dog. You know, they need home.
Well, I would love a shelter dog, but I more prefer a purebred.
He doesn't make much difference.
But
he can still get
really
a purebred
in the long run. You know, when Laddie Harding's dog was in the White House, Airedale shot up to the number one spot in popularity.
Well, that's true.
And then the Chow Chow became popular because Coolidge had one. A popular mixed breed, then you could have, and very, very possible, Susan, that people start breeding, and like I say, you know, bulldog to a shih tzu.
Well, I hope that's not the case, but I think that Obama is definitely a trendsetter. He's all about change, and that's what he's trying to do. So people will follow,
yeah.
I'm sure.
My feeling is it may cause more mixed breeds to end up in the shelter, more people breeding anything to anything. It's called haphazard breeding, and basically because they don't know who the grandparents were most of the time.
Right.
And they are just as susceptible to the genetic disorders of hip dysplasia and other things as the purebred dog is. A lot of people think because you're breeding for straight lines or family lines that there has a less, you know, there's more chance of a genetic failure. But that's not true. It can happen in mixed breeds or crossbreeds just as easily.
Oh, it can.
So we'll have to wait and see.
Okay, well, we all need to be more educated regarding pets, and that's why we're here on
that's
Pet
right.
Lovers
and
Lane.
We have a lot to learn, and so does Obama, since they've never had pets before.
Yeah.
I think they're going to probably get blamed more than the dog, but sometimes it can be the dog's fault.
Well, this is true. If you're a pet lover, you know that your life becomes very, very unpredictable when you have pets at home, and especially if you have more than one pet, right,
that's
Claire?
Absolutely right.
Yeah, so that's what makes life interesting, fun, and exciting. You are listening to WHFR 89.3 on your FM dial. This is Pet Lovers Lane, and I am Susan Morrell, and we have a very special guest today, Claire McLean. She is the founder of the Presidential Pet Museum in Williamsburg, Virginia. Claire is a history lover, and she is a pet, obviously a pet lover, and she has all kinds of memorabilia and exhibits there at the Presidential Pet Museum. And she also has the website. Give your website again and your contact information, Claire.
All right, well, thank you. Yeah, we have lots of things to look at, movies and radios, things, a lot of links to different other sites on our site. So please visit us at www.presidentialpetmuseum.com. If you want to speak to me privately or at any time, I welcome phone calls at 410-266-1484.
Okay. Claire, what would you say, or which pet would you say was the favorite, all-time favorite White House pet?
Falla. Franklin Delano Roosevelt's Falla created, again, a popularity in Scotties. But not only that, but he was not only the president's beloved companion, but the people's outpouring of love for him was so great that there's the statue of him at the Lincoln FDR Memorial in Washington, D.C. It's the second life-size, larger-than-life statue ever done of a dog.
And what is his name?
It's Falla, F-A-L-A. Falla was a Scottish Terrier of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. There's only three statues in existence that are life-size of the president's dog.
So why was Falla so very popular and beloved?
Well, a lot of Movie Tone and Pathé News was new then. They had a lot of new movies and television had just not quite started. Let's say it was mostly the movies. And people would go to the movies, and they had a lot of pictures of Falla and the president, and he would go with them on big conferences, the Yalta conferences on the battleships, and he gave a speech that helped him win the election at the when the Republicans went after him, accused him of spending the taxpayers' money to go and get Falla off the Aleutian Islands, and he just had a tremendous amount of publicity. And he was a lovable, comic, friendly, wonderful dog. And the president was never seen without the dog.
Well,
he
that's
was his constant companion.
That is really interesting.
And as I said, he had the second. There are only three statues in the Presidential Pet Museum. Has a life-size statue of done by Richard Kashudian of Barney Bush. So there's only three statues. There's the Laddie statue done. That's at the Smithsonian. There's the Franklin Delano Roosevelt Falla Scotty statue, and there's the Barney Scotty statue, who was, of course, George Bush's beloved Barney. And the Bushes are great animal lovers. They kept the cat at the White House in the family quarters, but they had more fun with Miss Beasley and Barney. But Barney would get a little feisty. He bit a reporter the other day, and it made front page news.
Yeah, that's what I heard. The Bushes had Barney. And then Miss Beasley was also a Scottish Terrier.
Yeah, and a cat.
And what's the kitty cat?
They called it Kitty or Willie, and another name they had for it was India.
Oh, they had different names.
India was after the baseball player they liked, and Willie just came, and then they coached. And Miss Bush always called it Kitty Kitty.
Also,
it's passed away now. India has.
Oh, India has passed away. And I understand that from viewing your website that the Bushes have a pet cow.
Yes, that's down in Crawford. Yeah, some people want to call that a White House pet, but I kind of, you know, we mention it because George Bush is very fond of that cow, Ophelia, but it truly was not at the White House, so it's hard to call it a White House cat. Now, Pauline Wayne was, we used to graze on the White House lawn all the time, so and every morning they'd milk her and they'd give Howard Taft the milk. Until one day he was the heaviest president we ever had, and he got stuck actually in his bathtub, and the aides had to come in and help him to get out of the bathtub. And the doctors told him. He said, they said, you've got to stop drinking that rich milk from Pauline Wayne. And so she was sent out to the farm. But she was there for quite a while, and Howard Taft used to, she was a Holstein, used to really admire her and was very fond of her.
Well,
that's like Woodrow Wilson had a tobacco-eating lamb, a ram named Ike. He would chew tobacco and spit at you. We have some great stories.
No, thank you. No, thank you. I think we talked about the, what was it, the crocodile or the alligator?
Yeah, well, yeah, alligator.
But probably that was the most unusual pet.
Well, more unusual was probably the raccoon that Grace Coolidge walked around the yard in, on a leash. The alligator was, you know, not something they really got attached to, I don't believe. I think it was more like a possessional fun thing, just like the kids, Roosevelt's kids had snakes.
And who was the raccoon?
Rebecca. Rebecca was a wonderful raccoon that was delivered to the White House for Thanksgiving dinner. And Grace got all upset and said, that's not dinner, that's my pet.
And who delivered it?
I couldn't tell you that, but they're really... it's like they get turkeys for Thanksgiving.
Oh, right, right.
They
sent
a turkey to the Lincoln, and the name was Jack. And Willie got so enamored to it that the president wrote a pardon for it, so it wouldn't be...
No, but the raccoon was... which president?
The raccoon was Grace and Calvin Coolidge.
And Grace liked the raccoon.
Oh, yeah, and they had more pets than they had since.
No, but I mean, how does a...
And a regular zoo.
How does a raccoon make a good pet?
Actually, it was very tame. There's a lot of pictures of her with it.
Oh.
And they, you know, it would be a pet like you might have... What do they have these days, the children? Ferrets?
But I always heard that raccoon might bite you.
Oh, yeah, they could, but this one never did.
Oh, isn't
it? We never heard about it. But no, it was a very friendly raccoon. They had two of them. One was Rebecca and the other was Horace.
So what is the most, I presume the dog is the most popular pet that's ever been in the
White
House.
Nowadays. In the early days, Susan, they had horses. George Washington was very fond of his horses. He was also a breeder of foxhounds. He took the English foxhound and bred it, his own version of it, and came up with the American foxhound. And today when you go to the garden, you'll see two different dogs. Oh, well, they look nearly alike, but they're not. You have the American foxhound and the English foxhound.
Okay.
And then from there, you had Thomas Jefferson with the Briards, and then the Adams had a horse, and the second Adams had the alligator. And you go up to Monroe and Madison, Dolly Madison. The two things she escaped from the White House with was a portrait of George Washington by Stuart and, of course, her parrot. In those days, they called him the Cause.
The Cause?
Yeah, macaw. And then it goes on from there. And there was Chester A. Arthur. He was just one guy that nobody liked, and he destroyed all his papers, and they figured he never had a pet. But every president had a pet.
So the most
for Chester Arthur.
The most popular pet that's been in the White House more than any other pet has been the dog. And then you say the horse was also...
The dogs, horses, and not very many cats. There's only been a few cats.
So the cats have lost out.
Gerald Ford, Susan had a cat, and Misty Malarkey, Ying Yang, belonged to Amy Carter.
Right.
And then they had birds.
A lot of birds.
But in the early days, like Zachary Taylor, a lot of them had their wartime mounts from the Civil War, and before they would have them at the White House and stable them and ride them every day.
And didn't the Clintons have a cat?
They had Sox. Sox was very popular. I'd say she was the most popular cat in the White House.
And so...
Stella was the most popular dog. As far in terms of publicity and people knowing about it or it having the best exposure to the public.
Did Sox have a special personality?
Not she was cat-like, naturally. But she was photogenic, and they would always bring her out for photo ops. So if you couldn't reach the president, you were able to reach out and get pictures or news on what Sox was doing and whether she was beating up on Buddy or not.
Oh, so she was a pretty aggressive.
They didn't get along. That's why, really, at the end, they separated. And you know, when Buddy was, that's another reason the Pet Museum got a lot of, I have to thank Tom Brokaw for that, but there was a lot of to-do over Buddy's death up in New York when he got out and got hit by a car.
That was terrible.
Yeah, and when that happened, I guess they discovered my site, and Tom Brokaw sent a crew of men down for the nightly news and gave quite a nice story on the pet museum. I got quite a bit of publicity. Every time something happens, it has to do with the pets of the president of the United States. They look to the presidential pet museum because we try to keep a archive of data and facts and,
right,
you know,
right,
a good resource for
the
them.
The historical record. And so, Claire, are you the person who does all the research?
Well, I've done a lot of it. Right now, I'm researching for people to give us funds. We're desperately in need of some funds to get the Obama display finished and out to the public. It's on display at the Williamsburg President's Park, where is our home base. But we're trying to make a display that we can tour the country.
Well, that would be wonderful.
Well, we'd go to the LBJ Library, the JFK Library. Incidentally, he was had many, many pets. They
JFK?
Yeah, the Kennedys.
Tell us a little
pet lovers.
Tell us a little bit about their menagerie.
Well, mostly the horses. They all had horses. Macaroni the pony was very popular when Carolyn was a tot. And then they had Charlie the Welsh Terrier, who had a love affair with Putnik, the dog that Khrushchev gave the president, who they thought might have bugs on it. So they had to thoroughly search the dog to make sure it didn't have a hidden bug. And it was fine. And Charlie and that dog got together, and they had puppies. And he had an Irish Wolfhound cross, and he had a German Shepherd. And it would take him all the way out to Kennebunkport, Martha's. Where was his summer home? Let's see, up there.
Kennebunkport, wasn't it?
That was George Bush.
Oh.
They had one up there in Massachusetts, too. They used to call it the Kennedy Compound. And he'd take them back and forth to the White House. The animals would go, too. Some of them, not all.
So what happened to Carolyn's pony?
Actually, they put it out to pasture at one of their ranches.
Oh, did they?
I think it went to Virginia. They had some land out there.
Right.
But Macaroni the pony was a cute, and he got a lot of fan mail.
Macaroni the pony sounds so cute.
Yeah, and he used to wander the grounds. Nearly walked in one day on the president in the Oval Office. But and Kennedy would get down on the ground and play with him. He'd have a great deal of fun with the animals.
Oh, that's funny.
He really liked him.
So what other?
Or Bush too. When Millie had her puppies at the White House, and all the tourists that were going through would watch the puppies playing. Old George would get out on the lawn with the puppies and roll around and play with the puppies.
Well, really, there's nothing more fun than playing with a pet. You know,
oh, it's, Lord, no. A litter of pups that climb all over you.
It's just too much fun. Any other really funny stories about pets that you can share are memorable or interesting?
Well, yeah, there was the story that when Millie was whelping her puppies, she was sitting there, and she was on the phone to George, who couldn't be there, and one would be born, and she'd say, well, we have another one. And George would say, what is it? She said, well, I don't know. I can't tell. And then she'd say, oh, another one is born. He'd say, what is it? Well, I don't know. I can't tell. And the third, fourth one was born. Well, what is it? And she said, well, I don't know. I can't tell. And then finally, the last one was born. She said, George, I can tell. It's a boy.
That's
so
funny.
That was kind of cute.
You know, I think that pets truly enrich your life.
Oh, they do.
And they just make your life so much rewarding, much more rewarding on a daily basis.
Well, and not only that, but we have so much bad news, Susan, coming through with Iran and Iraq, and, you know, the president's under pressure with the bills, that, you know, you need a spark of life. You need a fun thing, something you can go to a cocktail party, go anywhere, and you don't sit around for hours talking about your children or their accomplishments or the crisis of the day. You bring up the fact that your dog got in the garbage, or that you're looking for a dog, or you know, this problem with the dog. The conversation can go on for hours. Engaging and personal without being rude or tactless. You can just talk to the president about the dog and And you right away, the face lights up, the eyes light up, and you've got a real good conversation going, and it doesn't turn serious.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm a pet lover, but right now I happen to be a cat person because I have cats. I have three kitty cats. And
yeah, I've got two.
I usually talk about Mitzi on every show.
I have Betty and Chelsea.
I'm trying to decide, is Mitzi either, she used to be a catastrophe when she was a baby because, you know, we had some behavior issues with her. Now I've come to the way of thinking that she's really cat-tastic. And
gone from catastrophe to fantastic. That's wonderful.
Right, because
a couple of new words.
I've trained her. You know, I've put a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of hard work into training Mitzi with her behavior to tone it down. Got to tone down that catastrophe. That's what I've been focusing on with her through the years, and
it paid off.
It really helped. But you know, of course, when they're babies and when they're puppies and kittens, they're a lot more rambunctious than they are as they get older. So the years have helped too. I think she's around 4 years old now, about four, maybe five. So the years have really helped me around the house quite a bit.
Oh, that's wonderful.
She was a challenge. In the beginning, she's an adoptee from the local shelter, the Dearborn Animal Shelter.
What, does she have any characteristics that look purebred? Is she just a black cat, or is she a Persian?
She looks like she could be part Persian. She's a long-haired black cat, and she has a little bit of white. You know, she's the tuxedo.
Oh, she sounds very pretty.
Yeah, she's very beautiful, very, very beautiful. So I'm really glad I have her because she's the most entertaining cat I've ever met, despite all of her little personality idiosyncrasies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she entertains the whole house.
Yeah.
So
I might mention to you, too, Susan, that right now being played on the air at Animal Planet, Dogs 101 is a wonderful presidential pet video, taping, series, show, all about the president's pets. So you should try to catch that. They're showing it more now, and they probably will when he begins to get some more publicity on the dog.
Yes. And let me ask you this. Is there any place on your website where people can go if they're interested in donating?
Yes,
to...
we have a place to donate. In fact, we're surely going to put up a contest that people, if they can pick out the breed of dog, the species of dog, and the name that Obama picks, they'll win $100.
All right, so let's give your contact information and your donation information.
Oh, that would be great. Again, it's Claire McLean, our Presidential Pet Museum, www.presidentialpetmuseum.com, and you can call me at 410-266-1484. I also have a place on my website where you can chat with me.
Okay, that would
about
be
about dogs or any problems or anything that you have.
That would be wonderful too.
Do you have a website?
No, I don't, but I certainly need one.
Oh Lord, yeah, they're fun. They keep you busy.
Because I'm getting more and more ideas as time goes on. Because
oh well, good.
People have a great interest in pets, and I think the pet community and consciousness is growing.
It is, but they need us more now, Susan. Because,
yes,
they are facing other problems, and the pets can you know, need our help too.
Oh, absolutely, they do. And
I tell people, to go to your local shelter, go to your local pound or whatever, and talk to the people if you have to put your dog in another home.
All of my kitty cats have been adopted and rescued, and I have an extra one on the patio, and I always have at least one extra one outside. So I've been in the kitty cat rescue business for I don't know how many years now. Pets need our help, they need our love, and they can add a lot to our lives. So let's not forget that. And obviously most of the presidents and their families in the White House have recognized that and enjoyed that fact, right?
Absolutely.
And I'm so glad that you did start the Presidential Pet Museum.
Well, thank you so much, Susan.
I think it's a wonderful historical story that needs to be traced. It's part of our history. of the United States and of the presidents and their families and their mm-hmm. children. And it's just a wonderful thing that the presidents have been able to enjoy pets in the White House, because it just makes it more of a home.
Well, thank you very much. That's absolutely right.
And thank you so much for joining us today, Claire.
Oh, it's been my pleasure and my honor.
On Pet Lovers Lane, this show will be airing February 14th on WHFR.FM 89.3 on your FM dial. And if you go to our website, WHFR.FM, if you miss the show, you can download the show from the website probably for several months after that.
Oh, wonderful.
But Claire, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
And I really hope I have the chance to visit Washington, D.C. again in the near future. And if I do, I will certainly make a trip to Williamsburg, Virginia, to the Presidential Pet Museum to see you.
Well, I thank you so much, Susan. And I wish you all the best.
Yes, and thank you so much. Keep up the good work, Claire.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Staying tuned to Pet Lovers Lane, located at 89.3 on your FM dial, WHFR Dearborn. I'm Susan Morrell, and Pet Lovers Lane is a news, information, and talk show about pets for pet lovers and for pets. And that means you. Today is Valentine's Day, so happy Valentine's Day to all of our pet lovers and all of our pets. I just want to make a very special announcement. This is from Leader Dogs for the Blind. Leader Dogs for the Blind is a fabulous organization. They would like you to raise a puppy for Leader Dogs for the Blind, and you will change a life. Volunteer puppy raisers are needed to raise future leader dogs for the first year of the puppy's life. Loving homes are also needed to house a leader dog, mom or dad. You may choose to raise a lab, a golden retriever, or a German shepherd. Dog experience is not necessary. You can be part of the life-changing experience at Leader Dogs for the Blind. Visit them at their website at leaderdog.org. That's leaderdog.org. I'm going to give you their office phone number, 248-659-5019. It's a very worthy cause, and I urge everyone, all of our pet lovers, to participate. Leader Dogs for the Blind, get a puppy or a dog. All right, let's go on with our pet calendar for Pet Lovers Lane. This is February. Paws of Michigan is hosting a Millionaire's Poker Party today. That's Saturday, February 14th, from 4 p.m. until 2 a.m. All you poker players, go on down to Woodhaven, the Woodhaven Lanes at 20,000 Van Horn Road. And the contact information is pawsofmichigan.com. Saturday, February 21st, the Greyheart Greyhound Rescue is holding a meet and greet from 12 noon until 4 p.m. That's Saturday at Rocco's Pet Depot. That's in Macomb Township at 42202 Hayes Road. And the contact information is greyheart.org, O-R-G. Pug Rescue Network is holding a Bowling for Pug Rescue. That also will be Saturday, February 21st at 1 p.m. at the Astro Lanes in Madison Heights. That is located at 32388 John R. Road. There is a charge for that, $20 for adults, $15 for children under 12. And the contact information is 248-432-0102. We also have another event on February 21st. That's a Saturday. Roofs for Woofs. That is a bark and bowl. That's on Saturday again at 7 p.m. at Century Bowl. That is in Waterford, 7345 Highland Road. And there is a charge of $20 for adults and $12 for kids. And the contact information is 248-396-9233. Paws of Michigan is holding a spa day at Wendy's fundraiser. That will be Tuesday, February 24th from 5 until 8 p.m. at Wendy's in Woodhaven. That's on Allen Road. Contact information is info@pawsofmichigan.com. And the Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter is holding Cool Cat Casino Night on Saturday, February 28th from 7 p.m. until midnight at the Knights of Columbus. That will be held in Dearborn at 23633 Park Street. The cost is $35 and $30 in advance. And give them a call at the Dearborn Animal Shelter, 313-943-2697. And the Friends of Michigan Animal Rescue is holding a microchipping event. And that's going to be in Belleville, Saturday, February 28th, from 12 noon until 4 p.m. That will be at the Feed Right Pet Shop and Supply at 11760 Belleville Road. And the charge is only $20 for a chip. That is a fabulous deal. The contact phone number is 734-699-6990. That is a very, very good deal. If your pet needs to be microchipped, run on down to Belleville on February 28th and get your pet microchipped. If your pet gets lost, you will be reunited with your pet. And then again on Saturday, February 28th, the Michigan Pit Bull Rescue is holding a meet and greet from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. at the Pet Emporium. That will be in Ann Arbor at 4940 Ann Arbor Saline Road. Contact phone number is 734-929-6533. And let's not forget that February is Pet Dental Health Month, and all pets should have their teeth cleaned at least once a year. It's a little bit pricey, but having your pet's teeth cleaned will help them avoid illnesses in the future as they get older, especially cancer. And don't forget that February 24th is Spa Day USA, and you can make that a Spa Day USA for you and your pet. Treat you and your pet to a day at the spa. And we have some adoption events around Metro Detroit and around Michigan. There is a Fortunate Feline Adoption League every Saturday from noon until 5 p.m. They have an adoption event at Petco, 9 Mile, and Gratiot. And the contact information is fortunatefeline@wowway.com. If you want to adopt a kitty cat, make it on down there. Kitty cats make wonderful pets. Okay, let's move on to the Great Lakes Rabbit Sanctuary. They are having a pet adoption event. That is today on Valentine's Day, February 14th, from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. at the Pet Emporium. That's in Ann Arbor at 4940 Ann Arbor Saline Road. The contact phone number is 734-929-6533. A bunny rabbit can make a very good pet and might be a wonderful gift for your Valentine, for Valentine's Day. So let's not forget about bunny rabbits as pets. Also, the Michigan Rabbit Rescue is having an adoption event on Saturday, February 21st, and that will be at PetSmart in Commerce Township at 385 Haggerty Highway. The contact phone number is 586-447-2260, and that's at the MichiganRabbitRescue.org is the contact information. So that's all we have time for today on Pet Lovers Lane. I am Susan Morrill, and I thank you so much for tuning in. All of you pet lovers and you pets, have a happy Valentine's Day. Remember that Pet Lovers Lane will be back on WHFR bi-monthly on Saturdays at 10 a.m. on WHFR 89.3, the only station making waves.
And you're listening to WHFR Dearborn. Welcome to the Lost Highway Show. My name is Tom, and I'll be here for the next couple hours on this snowy Valentine's Day here in Dearborn. So sit back, relax. I'm going to take you on a musical journey today. Got some new stuff that we're going to hear from Mark Olson and Gary Loris of the Jayhawks. We got that coming up later in the hour, later in the show. We've got a couple other things. Andrew Bird, Dan Auerbach from the Black Keys. And a few other surprises along the way for this Valentine's Day. So